Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think you guys know by now how I feel about Jimbo and that stuff. That's besides me. That, you know, I don't make those decisions and whatnot, but he was obviously huge for us last year, and I'm excited to, you know, when he is here, to be able to get with him. It's, I obviously love Jimbo, but it's just like anyone, whenever someone's not here, it's a great opportunity for the guys that are. And, you know, seeing Ray and Ty and, you know, Diev and Frank just get those opportunities, like everybody kind of benefits from that. And, you know, but I am excited whenever Jimbo is back with us.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Thanks for coming along with us here on this Monday. Bills mandatory minicamp opens tomorrow. Spend some time this morning talking about James Cook, because Adam Schefter, his latest from his podcast. Actually, Josh, you want to run that? We got that. Rather than me just saying it, let's have Adam Schefter say it. The latest is, and to me this is the first insider that I've heard say, yeah, this is going to stay bad for a little while. Here's Schefter.
But I don't think we'll be seeing him in Buffalo anytime soon. And again, the start of training camp will be the next critical moment. If they don't have a deal done there by then, does James Cook show up for training camp? Does he risk the penalties that come along in the collective bargaining agreement if he doesn't show up? But look, we've seen the Philadelphia Eagles this offseason reward Saquon Barkley. We've seen the Baltimore Ravens reward Derrick Henry. We have not seen the Buffalo Bills pay James Cook yet.
Schefter, he also said, in addition to that, that Cook has disconnected himself from the team and city,
mm-hmm.
and put his house up for sale.
We knew that.
Yeah.
We saw the listing, what, was that 2 months ago now? It was a while ago now that he did
That's right, because the cords were hanging. And
yes.
And there was a pile of clothing that led people to say he has an invisible dresser,
mm-hmm.
because they're just clothes without an actual dresser. Anyway, when I was young, I probably had an apartment look like that too.
Yeah. I'm now I am obsessive about making sure the cords are hidden behind every TV. It's up on a wall.
Yep.
Behind the wall, one way, shape, or form.
So, all right, latest on Cook. If you want to throw your thoughts at us, we'll be happy to have them. 803-0550, our phone number. You can watch us on the stream. You can comment. You can subscribe to WGR's YouTube channel. You can like it, all that good stuff. Is there an angle that we have not yet explored?
No, I think.
Is the trade one?
What would you take?
Like trading him away? He demands a trade. That's something that is along the line of, you know, all right, well, next step, what do? We request a trade. And then, boom, the agent requests a trade, something Jonathan Taylor did do.
Yeah.
Taylor was unhappy. You know, Schefter's framing there, you know, sometimes you have to wonder if it's his own opinion, if he's somewhat relaying the feelings of someone in the process. As he says, Barkley got rewarded. Derrick Henry got rewarded. He's talking about the top running backs in the league getting paid. And I don't think anybody around here thinks James Cook is on the level of Saquon Barkley or Derrick Henry. I'd argue he's Jahmyr Gibbs, and he's in that neighborhood. And Gibbs is not yet paid. Will the Lions pay Gibbs? Because the Lions have Gibbs and a guy that they've paid in David Montgomery. And that's a 1-2 punch. That's a shared backfield. Would they pay them both? By the time they're due to pay Gibbs, Montgomery might be done there, and Montgomery got hurt late last season. So
Gibbs, even though, like, Gibbs is a much bigger part of his offense than Cook is. Like, Cook, the touchdowns are similar. In fact, they both scored They both score 16.
Their touchdowns are similar. Their yards over expectation running the ball are similar.
All right. But Gibbs was like 50 yards short of 2,000 yards last year, and Cook had 1,200.
Right.
So
how many snaps?
He plays more. I don't know how much more he plays because he's splitting a backfield with David Montgomery.
He's splitting it one way, whereas Cook is splitting
That's fair.
Two ways.
That's right.
I want to just at least.
It's a 7% or 8% difference. Gibbs played 56% last year, and Cook played 48%.
Okay. So, I mean, like, he's getting a lot more. He's getting more targets in the passing game. I mean, Gibbs is a big part of that, whereas in the Bills passing game, I've got Ty Johnson that's arguably their best pass catching back.
That's right. Yeah. Gibbs, I don't want to fall into a trap with him because I want to believe in those numbers, yards over expected, and, like, you know, he plays on a team where his offensive line is, someone said earlier in the day that the Bills have the best offensive line in football. They might. If they don't, Detroit probably does. Like, although their center just retired.
Yeah, Ragnar just retired.
They're still probably really, really good. Gibbs, I mean, his nickname on Peripheral Reference is Sonic. When he gets in the open field, it's crazy. He's so fast. But
anyone else sound like that? Anyone else do that last year? James Cook did that last year.
He did, but
in
even
the open field, that's what he was.
Cook's fast, but I do think Gibbs has another gear. But
he might be shiftier.
That might not matter. It really might. It might not. Like, Devin Achan is the fastest back in the league, and he stunk last year. His yards over expectation were terrible, and he didn't run. He was under 4 yards a carry. So, like, just who can run the fastest straight ahead is not a measure of how good you are. But Gibbs, maybe it's also that he was a first-round pick, and the expectation he was more of a player in college. So, okay, they're close enough. They will pay him, I bet, in Detroit, though.
He's a first round pick, so
that's
the point. They have more time to do it. They have fifth year option.
And when you draft a guy in round one, isn't there a little bit more? 12 overall, by the way. Where was Cook? 60? Mm-hmm. Like, a big difference in picks. It's not just a one round difference between the two. Gibbs was a high ish first round pick, whereas Cook went near the end of round two after the Bills had traded down a couple times. The investment is different. So that's a part of the scope of it as well. What would I trade him for? I mean, I'm not really worried about the compensatory pick part of it.
No, nope.
But I'm not trading for a draft pick, right? Like, don't I want a back in exchange? I was tweeting back and forth with Greg Thompson over the weekend from Cover One about contract stuff and what's going to happen with Cook. And when he said something that made me think about, I've been mentioning Jonathan Taylor, like, oh, the Bills will never, if they don't pay Cook, they're not going to pay a running back. And I'm thinking, well, probably, but in a year, Jonathan Taylor is going to be available, and the Bills could think Jonathan Taylor is a better running back than James Cook. They probably should, a little bit. He plays way more if you need him to. He does all situations. And the trade he threw out was something along the lines of, I got to find it, Cook and Epinesa. We're just going to throw Epinesa into every trade, I think,
that's
between
right
now and the start of the
that's
season.
That's right.
But something like Cook and Epinesa, here it is, to fit the salary in, because Taylor's got 2 years, $24 million left in his deal, but next year there's no guaranteed, so, you know, there's a big dead cap. You'd probably want to redo it. You send Cook and Epinesa and a fourth to Indy for Jonathan Taylor. Would you do that? Because that's not draft picks. That's not, oh, I'm doing things for the future. I'm still trying to win a Super Bowl right now.
Well,
is there a deal though where you're not getting a running back that is going to sound good to people? Because no one's going to want draft picks. And what other position? What are you going to trade James Cook for? You're going to trade him for a defensive end?
It's not realistic to think about trade. I've never thought it to be all that realistic to trade him, because he wants a contract that the team that acquires him is going to be willing to pay him. Back to the Gibbs point, because I just want to do that. You know, you mentioned Taylor. Okay. I'm not here to tell you that rush yards over expectation is the Bible and we all have to sign up for that. But if you want Jonathan Taylor, he's a guy that finished below James Cook in rush yards over expectation. Here's the list of players that finished ahead of Cook. Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Jordan Mason, Chuba Hubbard, Jerome Ford, Bucky Irving, Jahmyr Gibbs, end of list. And Gibbs, on yards over expectation per carry, was better than Cook. But Cook has been in the top 10 for two straight seasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, oh, his line is good. That's, what would the average running back do on this play block this way?
Mm-hmm.
He's a top 10 guy at getting more. In fact, if you want to not boil it down to, Well, 0.82 yards per attempt. What does that mean? You know what his rushing yards over expectation was in the most important game of the year? The Chiefs. He ran
The AFC Championship?
The AFC Championship game. He ran 13 times for 85 yards in that game. Well, the line is so good. I know. I wouldn't dispute that. His rushing yards over expectation, according to Next Gen Stats, was 36. So the line, according to Next Gen Stats, would have blocked up 13 carries for the math.
50-something.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's not amazing.
49.
The line got him 50 yards,
The line got 13 for 49. Is that a good day? Not really. It's okay.
But even,
he got 13 for 85. Rush yard, again, I'm not trying to tell you that it's everything, but it's just here's a data point where they do the league, the whole league, and then they say, and this number says this guy gets more than he should. He's the best on the Bills at it. And
he definitely, I don't know how much of that over expectation was on that touchdown run, but it's at least.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three.
The touchdown run was.
He gets met at the 3 yard line. I feel like that plus three on that number should be like plus 100 because of how you get a score on it.
To me, that's one of the flaws in like rush yards over expectation is if you break one at the 5 where you would have gone 95, whatever.
Right. That's right.
But whatever. The point is, I think he's good. And his lack of production is in part built into the system, and the Bills might like it that way.
Well, and it's his limitation. I mean, that game is kind of a microcosm of the debate of whether or not you pay him, how much he's worth, how much the Bills would like him, because that game, he was awesome. 30 yards more than he should have. He scores on that touchdown when he should have got met at the 2 yard line. He finds a way to get in. He was, other than Josh Allen, he was the best player on the Bills that day.
Yeah, about 3 yards over expectation per carry,
right,
which no one touches on a season-wide basis. But that's how good he was in that game.
Best player on the team that day, arguably not named the quarterback. And yet, on the last drive of the season, which was the most important drive of the year, he's not out there. He's not out there.
And how'd it go for him?
For the Bills?
Yeah.
Well, they ran the ball.
They ran the ball
without him out.
They gave it to somebody else.
But that is a look into what they don't trust of him. They don't trust him to be out there in those spots because he's either too small or he's not good at reading it. They don't trust him to protect Josh Allen and they think Ty Johnson's a better receiving back.
Okay. And did they throw
catching the football, they think Ty Johnson's better.
On the final drive, did they throw to Ty Johnson? They handed it off to Ty Johnson.
They did.
And then could James Cook block screens? They threw a screen to Amari Cooper. They were trying to throw the orbit motion when they got completely blitzkrieged on 4th and 5.
That's right. But this is why I bring up Taylor, because the Bills, are they going to want to pay a running back like that?
If they don't put him on the field.
If they don't put him on the field like that. Because 48% of snaps for James Cook last year, Jonathan Taylor played 80%.
That's better use of your money if a guy's playing that much.
Exactly. I've often thought the Bills would never pay a running back like this, a second contract, giant money. Maybe that's wrong. Maybe they would do that. I feel like it's much more likely that they would pay that money to a running back that plays like that. That plays like Taylor's out there all the time. That's a star back versus a guy that is really good and they like, but in critical spots, they might choose a different guy who makes a vet minimum contract.
Get to Eric in a cell in one moment, but I want to ask you this before we do that. How is that any different from the way they approach receiver? They would pay a top, top, top guy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have one. If they did, they'd pay him. And if they had Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley. They'd pay that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But since they don't, they won't. And it's probably a, right, good, like, it's a good way to do business. Let's not elevate a guy beyond what he is.
Like if Zach Moss had become Jonathan Taylor,
would they have kept him and paid him?
They would have paid him.
No.
Right?
And if Keon Coleman...
Probably. I don't know that, though.
Right, and if Keon Coleman becomes Justin Jefferson, they'll pay that dude $40 million a year. Like, they're not against it, but right now, in the absence of one, it kind of appears like you don't pay that.
I'm sure of that about receiver and all these other positions. I don't want to say I 100% know it about running back because we've never seen them... We've never seen them... They've chased it to an extent, right? Day two picks.
Mm-hmm.
But they have not spent a first-round pick on it, and they have not traded for one of the big names, right? They have not signed one of the big free agents. You know, they didn't go sign Derrick Henry last summer. I don't even know if they tried.
Should they have?
Did they even talk to him?
They maybe should have.
Maybe. But again, that's part of the point. Like, even if they had a guy like that, I wonder if they would pay him. I would bet they would, but these other positions, I'm sure of it. If Keon Coleman becomes A.J. Brown, they are signing Keon Coleman.
Yep.
If T.J. Sanders becomes Aaron Donald, they are signing T.J. Sanders, and so on and so forth. If Ray Davis becomes a top 10 back in the league in the next, if Cook leaves and he becomes like a Pro Bowler, perennial Pro Bowler, I'm not sure they'll pay him.
Would they have the same approach the Giants did on Barkley? Again, the Bills would be good. But what did Joe Shane say that day? We're not paying Danny Dimes this money to hand off.
Right, and that dude worked in the Bills front office for 5 years.
Eric on a cell jumping in. Hey, Eric, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, fellas?
Good.
Excellent. I just want to say James Cook never had to be this extra about it from Jump Street. He came out of the cannon all fired up like, the Bills are doing something egregious against them. And to that, I would just simply say to James Cook, bye, Felicia. Thanks, boys. Peace.
Thanks, Eric.
I don't know how extra he's been lately, though. And even extra, whatever. He tweeted $15 million. You know, he's said some things. It hasn't been that bad.
Well, this is where it's about to – that's the next step. Skipping mandatory minicamp, racking up $100,000 in fines.
Right.
He missed voluntary OTAs, and he was the only guy to miss, outside of Josh, who just got married, who missed the second week of OTAs.
Yep.
Like, he's definitely, at the start of this, when it was one tweet, I thought, who cares? You know, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But as we've gone along, I kind of tend to agree with Eric. Like, this could all be quiet. Put it this way. What if Schefter, now, I don't want to say that. I was going to say, what if Schefter had the same report, and we didn't have the tweet from Cook about $15 million? Because what he did there is he fires the opening shot. The Bills would never have said a word. None of this would have been public. It would have been us speculating. And maybe there would have been a report. Hey, James Cook's really not too happy. He's going to report, but he's not happy. And if that had been the way things had been handled, would people be more sympathetic to his position? Now, listen, he's got no safety net. He's there. He's working. He's at OTAs. He's at mandatory minicamp. And there's all these reports. Nothing directly from him, no tweet, no podcast, none of that. Nothing from his brother. The plan at that point instead is we're going to go radio silent, but we're going to leak it just to the insiders. I'm hearing Cook's not happy about his contract. I'm hearing he wants more. Then the story's out there, and we don't have the caller. I mean, he's not alone to say as soon as he made it about himself and as soon as he went public there, he lost people. Like it or not, I don't necessarily think you should bail on a guy because he makes his demands public, but I don't think it's deniable. I think it's undeniable, rather, that people will, you know, check out on you.
It is worth pointing out his last tweet, unless there's one in between here, but I love you, Buffalo, quote tweet, but it was quote tweeting and a report that Saquon Barkley was getting paid.
Okay.
So I don't... Do what you will with that. He also retweeted Thurman Thomas saying, pay Cook.
All right. So, there you go.
Right. So I don't think there's anything wrong with what he's done. I think he has not really been that overt about it. He's definitely told you what he wants, and he's definitely made his intentions clear that he wants a contract. But to this point, I don't think he's done anything that's out of the ordinary. Or even by league standards, is that controversial? You know, I think he didn't do – what did Trey – I mean, I guess he wasn't around to do this, but what did Trey Hendrickson do a couple weeks ago? He did 20 minutes of media where he basically put the organization on blast.
Now, that's an organization that deserves to be on blast.
That's true.
Frequently.
But Cook didn't do that.
No, that's right.
Cook hasn't done that yet. And
that'll be episode one of Hard Knocks.
I was going to say, if he, maybe I'll be wrong, I don't expect him to do that.
No.
Whenever he talks for the first time. So, I don't know, like, has he lost some people? I think the dude's just trying to get paid, and I don't really think he's even been that aggressive about how he's gone about it. A couple of tweets to me is not... A couple of tweets, and what did he say? He said something at a poker tournament. That's the extent of what we got? And what did he even say at the poker tournament?
I forgot already.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't crazy. So, I don't know.
803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550 if you want to join us, Jeremy and Joe. Coming up next, we'll get Matt Perino's thoughts on this of New York Upstate and the Shout podcast. And also a post-fight breakdown. Patchy Mix made his UFC debut. Maybe you were up watching it on Saturday night, and he lost in his UFC debut. He's been a fighter for quite a long time. Did not go his way. We'll talk to Matt about how things went and where things go from here on Patchy Mix. It's coming up next, Matt Perino here on WGR.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.